ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 30 वर्स नंबर 14। तत्रापि अजात निर्वेदो, तत्रापि अजात निर्वेदो, ब्रियमानः स्वयंवृतः, ब्रियमानः स्वयंवृतः, जरायोपात वैरूप्यो, जरायोपात वैरूप्यो, मरणाभिमुखो गृहे, तत्रापि अजात निर्वेदो, म्रियमानः स्वयंवृतः, जरायोपात वैरूप्यो, मरणाभिमुखो गृहे, तत्रापि अजात निर्वेदो, म्रियमानः स्वयंवृतः, जरायोपात वैरूप्यो, मरणाभिमुखो गृहे। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग, तत्र देयर अपि ऑल्दो अजात नॉट अराइजन निर्वेदः अवर्जन ब्रियमानः बीइंग मेंटेन्ड स्वयं बाय हिमसेल्फ वृतये बाय दोज हु वर मेंटेन्ड जरया बाय ओल्ड एज उपात ऑब्टेन्ड वैरूप्यः डिफॉर्मेशन मरण डेथ अभिमुखः अप्रोचिंग Grihe, at home. Translation. The foolish family man does not become averse to family life although he is maintained by those whom he once maintained. Deformed by the influence of old age, he prepares himself to meet ultimate death. You can repeat the translation. The foolish family man, does not become averse to family life. Although he is maintained by those whom he once maintained, deformed by the influence of old age, he prepares himself to meet ultimate death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Family attraction is so strong that even if one is neglected by family members in his old age, he cannot give up family affection. And he remains at home just like a dog. In the Vedic way of life, one has to give up family life when he is strong enough. It is advised that before getting too weak and being baffled in material activity, and before becoming diseased, one should give up family life and engage oneself completely in the service of the Lord for the remaining days of his life. It is enjoined, therefore, in the Vedic scriptures that as soon as one passes 50 years of age, he must give up family life and live alone in the forest. After preparing himself fully, he should become a sannyasi to distribute the knowledge of spiritual life and to each and every home. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणनाथान्वितं स्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯ ಪಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತನಾಮ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವರ್ಸ್ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ವೈ ಆಮ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಮೆನಿ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಆಡಿಯನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ದ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಡ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇಟ್ ಸೊ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಸಿಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ very interesting section of Bhagavatam. We are continuing in those verses now. So before I start speaking of the points which I have noted down, because I know many devotees were not attending these Bhagavatam classes regularly, I have been told. So I'll be just reading the translation from last few verses so that you know the flow of the verses, because it's very interesting. It's very intense though. When you read these verses out loud to people, the best thing is you feel happy, or at least you have not written these verses, this language or this intense, this heavy statements. So no one can question you, you're just repeating it, what scriptures and Prabhupada is saying. Yeah, so from verse, text number 6 onwards, I'll read. Just carefully listen. So it is, such satisfaction with one's standard of living is due to deep-rooted attraction for body, wife, home, children, animals, wealth and friends. In such association, the condition soul thinks himself quite perfect. Although he is always burning with anxiety, such a fool always performs all kinds of mischievous activity with a hope which is never to be fulfilled, in order to maintain his so-called family and society. He gives heart and senses to a woman who falsely charms him with Maya. He enjoys solitary embraces and talking with her, and he is enchanted by the sweet words of the small children. The attached householder remains in his family life, which is full of diplomacy and politics, always spreading miseries and controlled by acts of sense gratification. He acts just to counteract the reactions of all his miseries. And if he can successfully counteract such miseries, he thinks that he is happy. He secures money by committing violence here and there. And although he employs it in the service of his family, he himself eats only a little portion of the food thus purchased. And he goes to hell for those for whom he earned the money in such an irregular way. When he suffers reverses in his occupation, he tries again and again to improve himself. But when he is baffled in all attempts and is ruined, he accepts money from others because of excessive greed. Thus, the unfortunate man, unsuccessful in maintaining his family members, is bereft of all beauty. He always thinks of his failure, grieving very deeply. Seeing him unable to support them, his wife and others do not treat him with the same respect as before, even as miserly farmers do not accord the same treatment to their old and worn-out oxen. And this is today's verse. The foolish family man does not become averse to family life, although he is maintained by those whom he once maintained. Deformed by the influence of old age, he prepares himself to meet ultimate death. And now this section is reaching the death of this attached householder or this attached person. And then, and then next two or three verses, they'll explain how and what happens when this householder, this attached person, he leaves his body. So going back again to the context of the verse we are in, Lord Kapila is replying to his mother regarding the miserable condition material life offers, because she questioned him, and now he's explaining to her. If you see the purport, Prabhupada is actually matching the whole theme which the verses are explaining. He is not reducing or minimizing the intensity in which Srimad Bhagavatam is practically very sharply cutting the attachment. In the purport, Prabhupada uses very strong language. He says, family attraction is so strong that even if one is neglected by family members in old age, he cannot give up family affection and he remains at home just like a dog. It's very heavy. One of my aunties, she started going to the temple, and she was reading books, and my uncle, who does not go to the temple, now that auntie is initiated devotee, she's well practicing and helping in preaching also. My uncle is still, he's supportive, but he's not very, himself he doesn't do anything and doesn't want to be pushed also. So when he saw the book, he just heard my auntie saying that, oh, in the book, you know, this is how it's written, that she may not be quoting this particular verse, but Prabhupada says this many places, that he remains at home just like a dog. And he became so upset. He said, take me to the temple. I want to meet that person. Who told you a dog? I want to see that person. Who is saying all these things in the temple, you know? Now he knows what the context was. But first time when he heard that someone has told his wife that you're like dog. They were just quoting scriptures. So he got very upset. And it is meant to make you upset. And that's why Prabhupada uses very strong language. Because unless we get upset about it, life is anyways very comfortable. The whole situation is anyways very comfortable, even though it's not comfortable. But our design is in such a way that that's why in Sanskrit the word used is baddhajiv or conditioned soul. The other day someone was in Bhagavatam class asking regarding the conditioned soul. And the explanation in one place Srila Prabhupada gives that conditioned soul is that personality who even gets conditioned even in a hell. So what to speak of this place where we are at. So just by reading this translation of this shloka, a story which Narad Muni is main part of comes to the mind straight away. And that story is of Narad Muni and Kailash, because the translation exactly, the whole theme matches exactly with that story. And Kailash is a person who is having a family, like a normal person, having kids. Young kids he has. And Narad Muni is just passing by and he approaches this man and tells this person that, come, let's go to Vaikuntha, I'm here to take you. And now this Kailash is saying that, no, Narad Muni, give me some more years. My kids are very little, very young. My wife, my family will not be able to take care of them alone. They need me. So Narad Muni said, okay, I'll come back in a few years. And then we'll go to Vaikuntha. We'll go to the spiritual world. Narad Muni comes back after a few years and he sees the kids are grown up. Now this Kailash is there and he still has a reason that I have to settle them down. How my duties will be fulfilled unless I settle my kids? I have to settle my kids once they get married. So again Narad Muni comes back in a few years and now he has grandchildren. And again the reason is there, my son is busy working, his wife is also busy, I have to take care of the grandchildren. So Narad Muni asked, you want me to come back after a few years again? He said, yes, I definitely want to go to Vaikuntha, but you please come back after some time once these duties are done. So he comes back and he sees Kailash is no more there. And then while he was coming out, he saw a dog barking and coming towards Narad Muni. And he told Narad Muni, it's me, Kailash. Narad Muni said, what are you doing here? You know, it's a dog. When you read this statement, oh, it's very intense actually. What are you doing as a dog here? He said, I'm just protecting the house, taking care of the house. And so Narad Muni said, it's still not too late, let's go to Vaikuntha. He said, no, my kids are very careless. They will not take care of the hardened property I have. They will not take care of the whole thing. So I want to stay, I should stay and take care of them. Narad Muni said, okay, I'll come back in few more years. So he comes back and he sees the dog is not there. All family member, kids have grown up now. And then he becomes disgusted. He said, we don't know in which species this Kailash will be now. So he started going back. And then he saw a snake hissing and calling him. So Narad Muni with his vision saw, oh, this Kailash is that snake now. And he asked, Kailash, how come you're a snake? He said, I'm just protecting the field, the area, and if any animal comes to take care of the, to destroy or to eat the grains from the field, I just shoo them away. I just try and attack them and then they run away. And Narad Muni said, this person will not change. I have to do something because of his compassion, his mercy. So he called all the kids from his same family. He called all the family adults also. And he said, there is a snake and he will attack you and your own kids will die. So you better kill him. So now these his own children, his own grandchildren, maybe I don't know whether great-grandchildren were there till then. The story doesn't say that. But the whole family came and they started beating him. And he is trying to tell them, I'm your own father, grandfather. But how will a snake say, na? So he's hissing. So they became more angry and they started beating him more. And he's dead. He died. And Narad Muni takes the soul to Vaikuntha. So this is the situation. This is exactly the theme Bhagavatam is speaking in. Somehow, I have to speak on these verses. In terms of understanding, we can just repeat what is there in the scriptures. But it's hard to comment because we ourselves don't know much. So we'll just stick to what Prabhupada talks about related to this purports. In Bhagavad Gita 3.43, Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad that quotes that shloka. He says that Jahi Shatru Mahabaho Kama Rupa Durasadam. With the sword of knowledge, this Shatru, this enemy, O mighty arm, kill this Kama Rupa Durasadam. Kill this enemy, which is this lust, which is causing all this to happen. It is lust manifesting in so many different forms. Seeing the example of Kailash, that whom Narad Muni was talking to, is manifesting in so many forms that one cannot leave attachment to family members, hard-earned money. By spiritual strength, cut this enemy down. And what is that spiritual strength? That spiritual strength is Srimad Bhagavatam. And for that reason, Lord Kapila is speaking so amazingly these verses, the whole section, where Devahuti, Mother Devahuti, for benefit of our own self, is asking this question. And Lord Kapila is explaining the miserable situation of a conditioned soul. And even the chapter name is Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities. So what happens when a person is having this mentality of enjoying fruitive results? So how he goes through that life, his life, is the whole explanation in these verses. You know, there is a book, I'll not name the book because many will get interested in reading the book otherwise, but there is a book in which a devotee talks about, he was devotee, ex-devotee, he cannot be ex-devotee, but he left Krishna consciousness for whatever reason. And then he is saying that actually material life is not that bad. you have problems in Krishna consciousness also. Someone staying in ashram morning, waking up can be a problem. Someone working outside, maintaining, balancing the whole thing can be a problem. Health can be a problem. And for a devotee practicing, you know, staying in such a, suppose we are in ashram, so many people are staying together. And dealing with people, understanding the minds can be a problem. So problems are there both sides. So material is not that bad. So he gives that option, he gives that argument, one of the arguments, he gives few arguments. But so in that argument, there is a flaw. And the flaw is that material lifestyle only takes one to minus. Whereas spiritual lifestyle, there is no concept of minus. Even if we are not practicing the way it is supposed to be, and the devotee can say that I am experiencing some problems in my life. Why these problems are there? I'm chanting 16 rounds. I'm coming to temple every day morning. I'm associating. But still I can face some problems in my life. So what difference is it making? But none of us can neglect that there are instances where we get the moments where we actually enjoy happiness. And that happiness is not like material happiness, which doesn't lift us up, or which doesn't motivate us again to come back to enjoy the same thing. Why I'm saying this point is because actual Krishna consciousness, as explained, Bhagavad Gita gives a very nice verse for that. In 6th chapter, it says that yam labdva chaparam labham mannete nadikam tata yasmin sito na dukhena guran api vichalyate. So in that joyous state, this is talking about a devotee who is perfected, or a very advanced devotee. It says in that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. Upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in midst of greatest difficulty. Gurunapi. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So this is what we are aiming for in terms of being happy and not looking back towards our material situation. But while we are on the path, practicing Krishna consciousness, these moments which this verse is talking about, we all experience. We all experience, whether it's amazing kirtan happening while serving. It may be very small. For some devotees, it may be very long-lasting. But the way we progress, it happens. And why we cannot complain about that Krishna consciousness is not giving me that pleasure which it claims to be, is a nice point it's a self-introspective point. That Prabhupada actually talks about this. He says, spiritual life begins when one is disgusted with material life. Spiritual life begins when one is fully disgusted with material life. And now we can introspect and see, are we actually fully disgusted with material life? We're not. Most of us are not. We still have a lot to get from material life. So that mindset that why chant and be happy is not happening with me is because this disgusted feeling is not also coming. Then if that is not coming, which is from our side, then what Krishna is also claiming that you will get, you chant and be happy, Srila Prabhupada says, you chant and you will be happy, will also not happen. So it is, our previous habits are so deep in us that we don't want to give it up. I can tell for myself, we don't want to give it up. We all can think for ourselves, whether it's going for a movie, or whether it's going for some frivolous sports, or whether it's going or doing certain activities which are not at all recommended for a devotee, we cannot give it up. Why? Because we don't feel disgusted about it. And artificially, we cannot. We cannot. How can you explain someone that just going and watching a movie is a disgusted activity? It's difficult unless one realizes, understands that how in the world of illusion, I go and sit in a closed black dark room and certain colors are thrown on the screen, which is again a form of illusion created in front of me, and it has nothing to do with me. So already I'm in illusion, which is this material world. Then I go and sit in the theater room and then again watch a movie which is a projection of certain colors in an illusory way, and those who are acting also are not real, and it's a made up story from someone's mind, and we don't feel disgusted. So the problem is somewhere with us. So that's just one example. There's so many things which is necessary for one to ask or say that why Krishna consciousness is not giving happiness to me. So this is one point Srila Prabhupada very strongly says, that unless we get disgusted with materialistic way of life, it's hard to experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness, the full bliss which it says that your devotee practitioner will get it. Even if you see the demigods, the great demigods, because they are not fully averse or disgusted from material life, we don't say that they are pure devotees, even though they are working on the orders of the Lord, whether it's Lord Indra or any other devata. They are attached to material lifestyle, materialistic way of life. So one person actually, we were talking to a family a few days back, and then in that one person was very adamant, very strong in his remarks, saying that I don't believe in next life, because it's your belief system, it's you who is saying that I will suffer in future lifetimes, and it is your culture which is talking about I will suffer in my future lifetimes. But we don't even believe in reincarnation. We don't believe in soul. We don't believe in karma. So that means it doesn't apply to us. But it doesn't work like that. Then we were discussing, trying to give him some reasons, some arguments, but because he was coming from a very strong mindset, not able to accept that soul, reincarnation, karma, all these philosophies have even exist. According to him, he said, this karma, the philosophy of karma, is just there to control people. Because if you talk about karma, then people get fearful. And then they do what you want them to do. And he said, what are the proofs of reincarnation? Even if I told him there are proofs, there are videos, there are documented facts about reincarnation. For him, I think I was sounding like evil or Satan talking something. So he just couldn't take it. So then our discussion reached to a point, I said, okay, I also accept now in front of you that there is no soul, there is no karma, there is no reincarnation. But let's talk about this life. A person, a young man, has many desires to perform. And he tries and fulfills many of his desires. And while fulfilling his desires, he develops more desires. Do you agree? He was okay with that, because that's naturally how it works. You have certain desires and your body can cope up with that. And now you go for fulfilling those desires, whether it is sinful desire or not sinful desire. And then now you're growing old. He was in his 50s. Now you're growing old. And then you still have those desires in multiplied form. And you still can manage to fulfill most of those desires, because your body can still handle it. Now when you're 70, the flow of desire is not going to stop. The flow of desire is going to increase a lot times more. So then the flow of desire is increasing and your body is getting weaker, and you will become more old and you will not be able to fulfill most of it. Then we was trying to tell him that, can you imagine your miserable situation then? That's the point he got convinced, okay, if I don't do something about it now, then my old age itself will be very miserable. I'll be suffering like anything in my old age also. So, and so Srila Prabhupada only gives this point, but it's a very valid point to think that if I don't do something about my desires now, if I don't do something about my lifestyle now, if I don't bring a spiritual perspective to my life now, forget about next life. Forget about next life. One can say, I have not seen it. And I don't believe scriptures, or I don't believe what you say. But even in this life, a person will suffer like anything. In India, we say to those old people, Satya gaya. What actually is happening is the flow of desire is not stopping. It's very intense and it's increasing. But the body cannot handle it. The body cannot fulfill it. And then the person becomes very cranky. The person becomes very agitated. And the person becomes very stressed out. And there is no way one can give relief to that person. I'll tell a story or a real incident. There's a devotee family. Later they became devotees, but they had grandfather is still there in the family. And till the age he was 80, he was running his own business. And the only reason, which was in loss, first of all, and the family was supporting the business in loss, because the only reason that person had in his mind to do the business was that whole life I have only given. And now in old age, I cannot take from someone. So whole life, I have been in a position of just giving to others, whether it's family members or whoever. And always in a controlling situation in the family, the leader in the family, the whole family listens to me. And now I'm 80, and now you're telling me that for my basic needs, I have to ask from my son and grandson. I'll not be able to do it. So to maintain his desire, the family was helping him to run the business. Every day, 3 o'clock, he would wake up. He's still there, but now he's not doing the business. He would wake up every day, 3 o'clock, go to his shop. He had a milk shop. And do the business. And because he's so old, the servants working under him cheats him because he can't figure out things. But family is supporting because he was very adamant. I cannot take from you. I just cannot accept from you. How can I see? Because if sons are giving money, then naturally, and he is not earning money, then naturally he has to follow the instructions, follow the orders, and cannot give orders. So when his grandson visited him in India after he stopped working, and he asked, "Grandfather, how are you?" He said, "Yeah, I'm just waiting when this body will finish. When will I finish this suffering condition of mine?" He said, "What about chanting?" He said, "No, that's not for me." Even though he reads Prabhupada books. Fortunately, because the whole family is devotee now. So he read Prabhupada books. He, during the partition time, when India-Pakistan partition happened, he came from Pakistan side. So the only language he can read is Urdu. There is no other language he can have access to. So very few books of Prabhupada's are there in Urdu. So he reads those books. Back and forth he has read Bhagavad Gita. And when you play that Hare Krishna Prabhupada chanting mantra in his room, after a few minutes, after a few hours, max, a few hours if he can handle, then he asks to shut it down. It's too much. It's agitating. It's creating too much disturbance for me. And chanting cannot do. So once his grandson, he thought that, okay, let me try something in his way. He told, went to the, to help him out, to make him chant Hare Krishna. So he went to the grandfather and then he said, "Last night I got a dream, and I thought I saw you in the dream suffering like anything. And when I told you to chant Krishna's names, your suffering finished. So I think it's better now. I can see you are in that situation. In dream it came to me, so maybe it's Krishna's sign. It's coming from the Lord. Can you please chant?" He said, yeah, I'll do. So he became very happy and he went back. And after he went, straight away he told to the son that he thinks I'm a fool. He thinks the dream was really there. He thinks that he has fooled me. I'm not going to chant. I'm his grandfather. He thinks he's very smart. So very difficult. Because the whole life was in such a flow where there was no training given to himself to think something beyond the needs of family. He worked very hard for raising the family. He worked very, very hard. In that perspective, he did very well to take care of the family, to provide for the family. But he did not do anything. There was no attempt made to do anything for one's spiritual progress or one's individual relationship with the Supreme. He's my grandfather. I went to him. I spoke to him. I was just telling his story. He's fortunate that he's eating prasadam every day, all the meals, because other family members are devotees. But very difficult. Every time I go to him now, since 4 or 5 years he has left the business, only thing he wants to do is, when will this body finish? When, that's it. I'm just waiting when this time comes. And it's not like talking about a liberated or a very advanced devotee who's saying, when will this body finish and I'll go and meet Krishna. No. He says, this is too much suffering. I just cannot handle now. Let it go. Let it finish now. So he's reading Bhagavad Gita. Hopefully, by Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, something will happen. But the example is very strong. And we would have seen if in our families also, if we have someone like that, very difficult, very, very hard to explain. So it becomes even more challenging for devotees, for us, to do something about it, not just for family members, but for the whole world outside. That for people, they have adjusted to the suffering of this material world, of this material conditioned lifestyle. And when you say that, it talks very, it sounds very theoretical, very bookish, but it's a fact. That's how it is. And if we look back in our own lives, certain activities which we were doing and taking pleasure in, just few examples, if we individually think in our own life, we actually feel disgusted about it. We really feel disgusted about what we were doing. And devotees' kindness is there that we came in contact with this knowledge, with Krishna consciousness, and are able to understand this this philosophy and give up those very disgusting things. But still, there are many which we are holding on to. So a need to outreach is there for all of us in whatever way we can. And that's where very interesting thing Prabhupada tells to Yamuna Mataji, that when in your later years you go to Vrindavan and you do the remembrance of Krishna, do your bhajan, but now just fully dedicate your energies to preach Krishna consciousness. Why? Because if you don't outreach, if you don't go out of your comfort zone to help others spread Krishna consciousness now, then you'll not get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada says that for those who want to get mercy of Lord Chaitanya, preaching is not optional. So it can be in any form. Some can be book distributors, some can be good cooks, some can be just good devotees. And some can be assisting the preaching, some can give some lectures, in any form. But this mood of giving Krishna to others, one proper disciple was mentioning that if a pujari is not dressing the deities thinking that it will attract people towards Krishna, and he's just dressing, it's not the correct mood. Even a person dressing the deities has to be in the preaching mood. So, so this particular point which Srila Prabhupada tells to Yamuna Mataji, he told to few of his disciples, that once His Holiness Indradyumna Swami and B.V. Govind Maharaj, they were walking in Vrindavan, and B.V. Govind Maharaj just said, oh, how nice it would be if we would stay here. And Indradyumna Swami said, yes, in next life. Now, Prabhupada's instruction is to preach. To travel and preach. So if I'll not comment on people going to dhams and staying there, because some of them, they get instruction from the spiritual masters also to do that. But this mode, this principle has to be very clear, that to give Krishna is actually for us getting mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and it is not optional. It's a very strong statement actually. It's not optional. And why it's not optional? Because you don't get mercy of Lord Chaitanya, because it becomes very self-centered spiritual life. If we just think about our own Krishna consciousness, if we just think about our own spiritual progress, then it is self-centered. Me and my family, again, in spiritual dimension also, aham mam eti comes. That it's me and my family who should spiritually progress. So there is an amazing story of Narad Muni and Lord Shiva, where even in those great personalities, this eagerness to give mercy and receive mercy is there, which is in form of prasad. As the story will go, you'll understand. But a great lesson can be learned for us, that how important that consciousness is to go out in whatever way to give Krishna. So what happened? Once Narad Muni was serving Lakshmi Devi very eagerly in Vaikuntha planets, very nicely, and Lakshmi Devi became very happy with Narad Muni. And when she became very happy, she told Narad Muni that, ask me for a boon, I want to give you something. And Narad Muni asked Lakshmi Devi that, give me Mahaprasad of Lord Narayan. And now Lakshmi Devi became very perturbed, because she had got instructions from Lord Narayan that not to give his Mahaprasad to anyone. So now she became, it was a problem for her, because she has to deal with it now. She can't disobey her Lord and Master. So Lakshmi Devi said, okay, I'll try, I'll check. So while serving Narayan noticed and questioned, you're looking very upset today. There's something wrong. And she told, this is what had happened. I have promised Narad Muni that I'll give him Mahaprasad. I'll give him a boon. And he has asked me for this now. And I'm in trouble now. So you help me. So Lord told Lakshmi Devi, okay, you give him something, but do not give it to anyone else, and I should not see it. So when I'm turning back, then you give it to Narad Muni, this Mahaprasad. So she gave, Narad Muni is always in ecstasy, always traveling around, spreading the holy name, preaching. When Narad Muni ate that Mahaprasad, he practically became mad. He started jumping up and down, dancing, chanting, traveling the whole universe, chanting loudly the names of the Lord. And he passed through Kailash. And there he met Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, okay, I know you're in ecstasy all the time, but this is different. This is more intense. What has happened? And Narad Muni said, this is what has happened. Lakshmi Devi gave me Mahaprasad of Lord Narayan. And Lord Shiva said, have you got something for me? And Narad Muni said, no. So Lord Shiva said, no, this much ecstasy I have never seen before. I also want that Mahaprasad of yours. So Narad Muni checked in his fingernail, something was stuck. So he put his finger in Lord Shiva's mouth. And Lord Shiva took that Mahaprasad, and Lord Shiva started to dance and chant loudly and singing and jumping up and down. So all the rishis in different planets, they thought that it's time for annihilation, because Lord Shiva is dancing so intensely, you know, the way he is dancing. So Narad Muni and Lord Shiva both are dancing now, and Mother Parvati sees this, and she asks Lord Shiva, what has happened? It's not time for annihilation. Why are you dancing like this? So much happy. Annihilation time, you're angry. But you're so happy now. So he said, Narad Muni came, he gave me some Mahaprasad of Lord Narayan. And she said, what about me? And he said, it's all finished, because it was a little bit, I just finished. So she became very upset. She became angry. And because of her anger, she started burning the planets. And the rishis and the devatas, they went to the Lord, begged him with Lord Brahma, that please do something about it. She's so angry about it now. And Lord himself came to Kailash and told Mother Parvati, don't worry. Not just a little bit. I'll give you Mahaprasad as much as you want. And she said, seeing their ecstasy, how happy they are eating your Mahaprasad, I don't want Mahaprasad for me, I want Mahaprasad for the whole world. I want your mercy to go to the whole world. And then Lord agreed to that, and that's where, when he said in Nilachal Dham, in Jagannath Puri, when I appear in my form, first you will get my prasad. Every offering in Jagannath Puri, which itself is a lot of offering, is like hundreds and hundreds of kgs of rice are cooked on daily basis and offered to Lord Jagannath. That all goes to Bimala Devi, which is Mother Parvati. It's offered to her. All that Mahaprasad, all that Prasad is offered to Bimala Devi. That becomes Mahaprasad. And then everyone who comes there, they get the mercy of the Lord. So by this story, we can actually understand the mood which these great personalities are carrying. And how many stories, pastimes are there with Narad Muni performing this exhibiting this mood of giving Krishna in whatever way or form. Mrigari the hunter, we know the story. That Ratnakar, who became Valmiki later, in a couple of verses before, it's talking about how a person goes to the family. For the family, he does so many sinful activities, but family is not ready to share the sinful reactions. So same Narad Muni, he met Daku Ratnakar, this big time robber. He would plunder people's wealth when they were passing by through the forest, so, and kill them and torture them. And Narad Muni asked him, why are you doing so much sinful activities? He said, for my family, I want to maintain my family. He had kids, he had father, wife. He said, but will they share your sinful reactions? You're doing for the family, it's nice. On the contrary, now there are no families only. So at least, and that's why Bhagavatam actually says that a person will be known as a successful person. A person will be known as very successful if he is successfully able to maintain family in Kali Yuga. So, sorry, I'm talking about family a lot because the purport is like that and I'm just sticking to the purport. Personally, I have no experience and no qualification also, but the purport is like that. So, the whole section of Bhagavatam is like that. So he went to his family, this Ratnakar, and all the family members, they disagreed. They said, no, we're not going to share the reactions because it's your duty to maintain us. And for him, it was a tube light on. What am I doing with my life then? For whom I'm doing, none of them are going to share it. So why am I doing this? And for them, that was the change. And then that's where Narad Muni gave him, okay, you chant names of Lord Ram. And he was so sinful that he couldn't chant the names of Lord Ram. So Narad Muni turned it around and he said, okay, you chant Mara. If you cannot chant Ram, you chant Mara, because Mara means death or killing. And that you are very much accustomed with. So you chant that. And because it's Mara, 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 Mara becomes Ram. So the benefit is there. So he became Valmiki, who wrote Ramayana. Who wrote the whole book Ramayana even before it happened. he could foresee the pastimes of the Lord. So this is the beauty, or this is the amazing association of devotees can do. Because many times, at least as a devotee, we feel sometimes that we are too small and we are too new to give Krishna consciousness to someone. But the problem is, we may be small, not maybe, we are small, but the message is very big. The message is very, very big. And because the message is very big, it affects people's heart. It affects people's consciousness. And we don't know how Krishna works through it. I'll tell you one story today. Is Kadam Kanan Maharaj Vyas Puja also. He tells this story of a book distributor in Holland. Some of you may have heard this, but it's an amazing story actually. He's going office to office, and business to business. He's going in a building he is in, and he's going office to office and giving Srila Prabhupada's books. So one of the person in one of the office complains about him to police. And police is there now to arrest him. And this boy, this devotee, has a whole box of books in his hands. And he runs because police is there to catch him. And he's running and police is chasing him. So he's running on the road and police is chasing him behind, and he enters a small road, small alley. And he enters that road and he sees, it's a dead end. And then he sees one door. And because police is chasing him, he has to save his life. Police catches him there, arrest him, throw the books or whatever they'll do, fine him, may beat him if it was India. But he enters that room, he opens the door with the whole box of books, he enters the room, he ends up in a big theater, and he ends up on the stage where a big audience is sitting in front of him. And because he's a very expert book distributor, he immediately calms him down, becomes normal. Yes, becomes very normal. And then when he enters and he's on the stage, the whole audience is watching him now. And the whole audience is watching him. And the anchor is saying, "Oh, here comes our gifts for tonight. It's good, you were perfect on time. The ceremony, the whole event, the whole discussion just ended. And it's time to distribute the books to all our guests here. All the gifts to all our guests here." He doesn't know what's in the box. He said, "What have you got?" He said, "I've got a whole box of books." So every person in the audience got a Prabhupada book. He said, "Okay, what is the bill?" He told a good amount. He paid him. And that was a program happening. It was a butcher's association in Holland. So all the butchers were sitting in the audience. And they were waiting for their gifts, looks like. Or whatever the organizer had to give them. And all the butchers of Holland, because of this one devotee's, and Krishna's arrangement, they got Prabhupada book. So if you see how small that devotee could be to reach out to all the butchers of Holland and give him a book. Once a devotee was on the railway station, and he was trying to jump in front of the train. They had a habit of running opposite to the train, like in movies also they show sometime. And while he's running, he tripped over, he twisted his ankle, and he fell on the track itself. He hit his head on the track, and there someone had thrown a book, Sri Isha Upanishad, and he's bleeding heavily, and he falls down and next to the Isha Upanishad book on the railway track. And when he falls down there, he picks up the book. And he's bleeding badly. And he reads the book. And of course, he becomes a devotee. Because it's a... he was in a very painful situation. And he saw, God has just saved me. Because if I fall straight on the track, then train will pass over me. And then later, after becoming a devotee, the only book he started distributing was Sri Isha Upanishad. Because the small book saved him. Saved him and made him a devotee. So like that, there are so many... amazing pastimes of book distribution, of just bringing someone to the temple, just making them chant, like Saturday, Sunday night it happens. So many people have just taken, they're chanting 16 rounds because they come in the evening and they chant one mala, just like that. So this is our way of getting mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the whole parampara. Again, quoting Kadam Kanan Maharaj, it's a special day today. He says that if you have a small cup of nectar and you drink half and give half to someone else, cup is supposed to finish. The cup of nectar is supposed to finish. But when you get the cup back, it actually doubles. The size of the cup becomes double and it's full again. So you drink half again and you give half again to the other person. And then when again you get the cup back, the size of the cup again doubles. And your nectar consumption is also increasing. And then you again drink half, and then you give it again. Then again it increases, and by giving Krishna consciousness to others, by ourselves practicing properly, the nectar of bhakti, or the happiness which a devotee is supposed to experience, that happiness within, it increases. It increases. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2nd, verse number 71, it says, "Vihaya kama ya sarvan, pumams charati nispriha, nirmamo nir ahankara, sa shanti madhi gacchati." So here, outside, if you see, no one is peaceful. No one is happy within. But for a devotee, translation is a person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. And following in few chapters that amazing, very popular verse of Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, where a devotee understands that Krishna is my well-wisher, he is the Lord and Master of everything, attains peace. Attains peace. And this peace is not the end product for a devotee, it's a side product, byproduct, which every devotee gets, which is a peace within by practicing Krishna consciousness and by giving Krishna consciousness. So this section which Lord Kapila is, I'm just concluding now, is speaking, is actually to shake us up, and it's very strong section actually, it's very powerful. The purports and the verses, if you read, Prabhupada is nowhere compromising or minimizing the intensity which Lord Kapila is expressing in his verses, and purports. I felt purports are even more stronger, because Lord Kapila gives principles and Prabhupada is explaining it even harder. And emphasizing and not compromising at all, because unless we become disgusted, spiritual happiness cannot be experienced. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments or corrections, please?
Yes, Prabhu, thank you very much for the wonderful class. My question is that often we have also seen that, like as a verse talks about attachment for a materialist family man. What about like devotees? Even we see devotees, they also have a family, and though, even though they are helping each other in their Krishna consciousness, so then obviously one will be attached to, what is that attachment leading to?
The Prabhu's question is that this verse is talking about a materialist who is attached to the family. What about devotees who also have families and they're trying to help each other become Krishna consciousness and they have attachment? See, when someone reads these verses, natural reaction, because they are not reading, if they're not reading under guidance, is that there is no need to be, their understanding can be that be very detached from family life, your family members, your kids, be very focused on your spiritual life, and don't try and have loving, affectionate relationship with your family members, because that will create attachment. So better just be like a stone, four stones staying in the family, and just practice your spiritual life, whatever. But it's actually not talking about that. Why Bhagavatam speaks such verses is just to cut the outer covering, which is very hard, the attachment which we have for personal sense enjoyment, which expands to the family, and it actually takes us to the platform of where the whole family, the mood or the desire becomes that let's all together serve Krishna and give Krishna to the whole world. Because if you see, Bhagavatam talks about, okay, hearing the broken language of the kids, a person is attached, and attached to the wife, they're natural objects of affection. You just cannot artificially say, now I'm detached and I'm leaving the home and all, whatever. Prabhupada says, only if there is too much resistance, there's too much resistance of practicing Krishna consciousness, then one can think in that direction. But even that is not very encouraged, because devotees are encouraged a lot to try and make the situation conducive for the whole family to take up Krishna consciousness and give Krishna consciousness. So this can happen, that we can come to these conclusions that, okay, run away from family duties, run away from family responsibility, ultimately you're not the soul, you're the body. These very strong statements are made to just wake us up. These statements are not made to give up everything and run away. Because if that would have been the case, then Krishna would have not chosen Arjun to speak Bhagavad Gita to, first of all. And if he would have chosen Arjun, then first thing after the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjun would have done is taken sannyas. But that is not there in the picture. It didn't happen at all. So, by that, what Lord does and scriptures are doing is that it's giving us a perspective. It does encourage renunciation. There is no doubt about it. It does encourage renunciation. It does encourage giving up all these attachments. But it does encourages in a way which is very healthy for all the family members. Now, you see how self-centeredness is there, that as soon as the husband thinks about detachment, again he becomes self-centered and he thinks, I have to detach and go away, naturally. Self-centeredness is like that. And then, but then next day wife also thinks and doesn't cook, then it's a problem. So it's a problem. So our duties are to be done very affectionately, but affection to Krishna cannot be neglected and should not be neglected. Prabhupada tried for many, many years. It's not that first day only his wife was not supportive. You know, a very interesting fact from Leelamrit. Prabhupada, in that time, in India, multiple marriages were allowed. Polygamy was allowed. So, Prabhupada married his first wife. He didn't like his wife much. Somehow, reason is not mentioned. So he asked his father, can I marry a second wife? And his father, and that time Prabhupada was not, the pastime had not revealed in a way that Prabhupada was fully practicing devotee. That time he was assisting Gandhi movement to get India independent. So Prabhupada said, I don't like my wife, I want to marry another wife. So he'll keep two wives, like that he was saying. The father said, no, you're fortunate. You're fortunate. Somehow by the arrangement of the Lord, you are in a situation that you're fortunate that you don't like your wife. It'll help you to detach, but easier. So in that is also one side of it. But I know I'll be in trouble after the class, but but I'm just telling you the fact what it is. That's my job sitting here. But in a way that it's helpful for everyone. Is it okay? Yes, Prabhuji. Exactly. Anything else? Yes, Mataji. So Mataji's question is that we mentioned in the class that Prabhupada says that unless you get disgusted by material life, you cannot practice spiritual life to the best of what it claims to be, the result, the happiness it gives. So what she's saying that if in family life or in general life, when you get some problem, you get so much disturbed by it that chanting is difficult or other practicing spiritual life is difficult. Sorry, Mataji, you're asking the wrong person. More than you, I get disturbed by every single small thing that happens to me. But our job is to be like a parrot and sit here and repeat. So I'll do that. I'm very good at that. So even if these problems do come in our life, and then very happily, very enthusiastically, with lot of emotions for Krishna, we are practicing and we are serving Krishna, and then suddenly a problem comes to us, and then we become very discouraged to practice Krishna consciousness. At least in that stage, the mood of dutifully performing your spiritual life should be there. You may not have a lot of attraction to do it. It does happen, you know, like you have three kids. It will happen. It must be happening sometimes that you're tired, you know, you just can't handle, you know, just go away. Too much to do. But you don't do that. Why? Because as a dutiful mother, it's your duty to take care of them. So you still do it. You may not be having that same happy face. You may not be having that same enthusiasm. But because it's your duty, you still do it. Because if you don't do it, who will do it for them? But problem comes, may not be for you, but problem comes that when it comes to our relationship with Krishna, we wait for a problem to come and relationship breaks. As soon as the problem comes, relationship breaks. But when it comes to our material life, we don't do that. How? Someone is going to the work very enthusiastically, someone has a business, and then he's running the business nicely, first year, second year, fourth year, fifth year, and then he makes big losses. then he stops business and sits home? No. He again works hard. He doesn't give up. Again tries to make money out of that business. Same with job also. Heavy assignments, heavy projects are given. You just discouraged. Criticism, politics happens at work. You just cannot say, now politics is happening at work, I'll take sannyas. It doesn't work like that. I'll give it up. So when for material situations it doesn't work like that, for Krishna's it should not work like that. At least in those times, if duty we remain dutiful to our vows, this is the example. So you cannot neglect it. You cannot neglect it, and it should be practiced, and you have to give attention to it. Otherwise, who will do? It's not my kid. Why should I care? Mother has to do it. But you got the point, no? Is it okay? That sense of being dutiful is very important. And when that duty continues, the graph. Interesting thing, once Bhakti Samit Maharaj was mentioning that we are sitting here, we have to go there. So we may go this way, or this way, or this way, or in any way. But as long as we are going towards the goal, it's okay. It's okay. It's acceptable. So if we have to go from point A to point B, if the direction is moving towards point B, it's fine. Things can come and go. It will come and go. Problems will come and go. But if the direction is towards that side, I think it's good enough. Is it okay, Mahaprabhu? Sorry. Yes, Prabhuji.
How can you show person the mode of goodness that the material world is discussing?
Person in mode of goodness? This.
Yeah, how can you show a person that is in a, like, there's consciousness more and more of goodness that the material world is disgusting?
If someone is actually in mode of goodness, he'll be intelligent enough to figure it out that this is a place of suffering. See, what a person in mode of goodness, just to take a few examples, what he likes? He likes clean behavior, clean surroundings, people treating each other nicely, not exploiting, very calm, composed, regulated. This itself would have answered a question. It doesn't happen this way. Everyone around you will make sure that you're not able to follow it. Even if in personal life one is able to follow it, he can see suffering at all the time. He can see suffering in all situations. He can see suffering in all the given circumstances for himself and for others. So a person in mode of goodness is supposed to understand it faster. In person in mode of ignorance, who is intoxicated, who is always on sleep mode, what will you explain him? He'll explain to you, this is the best life. Because the mindset which he has, and that's the one reason he's living that type of lifestyle of complete ignorance, is because he's convinced, I'm happy here. And why a person, if you're talking about a complete materialist who is acting in mode of goodness, and he has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, then you have to really see if he's an intellectual person, if he's by using the tools which he will understand by. Because one principle you remember in preaching, in teaching someone, which will help all of us, is do not give Krishna to someone the way you want to give. Give Krishna the way other person will accept it. So for example, if someone is working with you, suppose in your office, and he is a very regulated person, very clean person, always on time, wants things well, then you cannot give examples to those people whom you are speaking or meeting in urban yoga, or someone who are backpackers or travelers or just your common friends. So you have to give solution to the problem the way they can accept it. So because your question is very general and answer has to be specific, so I can just give you that.
Yeah, just mean like actually,
because in principle wise, a person who is actually in mode of goodness should be able to see the suffering in this world. He may accept, he may not accept. Because everything is irregular here. Everything is unclean. The habits are unclean. The lifestyle is unclean. Internally, externally. And he likes to be in that situation. Naturally. If anyone wants to add into it, Adipush Prabhu. Varun Prabhas. It's a good point you're saying, because when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on that same point, when he says that when I see my family, I don't see a bunch of people whom I'm attached to. I see Vrindavan. When I see my family, I see spiritual world. I see they are associates of the Lord, and it's my duty to serve them. So like a spiritual master, if he has to serve, he has to chastise, correct? Similarly, as a father or a parent or a person or a person whom other people depend on, you may have to correct, you may have to chastise, but in mood of service, actually, thank you for mentioning that point. Because that makes the answer more complete, because we just spoke about the what you should not do, but what the situation in the family life should be a very conducive situation is that family members should see each other as devotees of Krishna, and then associate or engage in that way. But because the relationship is sometimes of a person who has to correct, then it has to come in that form also. You cannot just the way you treat your devotee friend in temple, paying obeisances, touching feet, Prabhu, if you do at home, it's a problem only. So, in that way, I'm saying. So, based on the relationship, the mood maintains the same. Wife will say, you're acting only too much. It's too much of acting. So, based on the relationship, this mood of serving each other is maintained. Prabhu, you want to mention something about Prabhu's question, Jagannathan Prabhu? He was asking that how to tell a person in mode of goodness about the miseries of this world. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanande.